Hi, I'm Scott Simon from NPR. Welcome to a special edition of Marian McPartland's Piano Jazz. I'm joining you today just because an old friend of mine and a hometown hero, Studs Terkel, can't be with us. I grew up in Chicago, where Studs was one of the most compelling voices on radio for nearly 60 years. One of Studs' favorite jazz musicians was NPR's own Marian McPartland. They shared a love of jazz, of radio, and Chicago. Marian calls the Windy City her second home. That's got everything to do with the Chicago jazz man that both Marian and Studs loved, the cornetist Jimmy McPartland. More about him later. Marian was a guest on Studs' radio show several times over the years, and in 1991, Studs joined Marian on her show Piano Jazz. Like any piano jazz program, there was great music and some wonderful talk. Unlike other piano jazz programs, there were two seasoned interviewers in the studio that day. Given his enthusiasm for Marian and her music, Studs quickly turned the tables on her.
My guest today on Piano Jazz is a renowned author, philosopher, radio host, and the most astute social observer of our time.
Wow.
Mr. Studs Terkel. How are you, Studs?
A lot of adjectives, Marian.
Yeah,
I was thinking about
all...
you, Marian. I think about you and the piano and this program of yours, heard over public radio for more than a dozen years, about 13 years or so.
Just about, yeah.
We'll have to ask about you, your life, too. As how that came to be. After you're English, you're from England.
Right.
You met an American jazz man out of Chicago, Jimmy McPartland.
One of your dear buddies for many years.
And the rest, as they say, is history.
Yeah, well, you knew Jimmy a long time before I did. He used to talk about Little Louis.
Little Louis, we did a program together way back. But I'm thinking about what you do at the piano. You didn't begin as a jazz artist when you were in England. Your family wasn't musical.
Well, my mother played sort of rather nice Chopin waltzes.
What,
things
for
like
example?
This. Well, she would play things like... that's probably the first thing I heard when I was a kid, was that particular waltz. And you know, I was only about three, and I just thought I'd get up there and sit on the... piano stool and try to play it. That's how I got started playing.
So there was sort of a genteel musical background. And into the scene, it's World War II. We're now talking about World War II. And the Yanks are there. And one of them is Jimmy McPartland. Raffish Jimmy.
Raffish. I love that word.
Yeah.
That just describes him. Well, of course, I was with USO camp shows. I went to France at the start of the invasion. And that's where I met Jimmy. He was in Belgium, and we were married there.
What were you playing then?
I was playing for the troops, and we were playing all those songs. We were playing things like that were very popular with the GIs at that time, like "I Don't Want to Walk Without You," like.
You've done just now, and that's why your program is so more than endearing. It's so enlightening and entertaining. It began a moment ago as you were playing very simply a fragment from a piece during World War II, popular love ballad, and then something happened, meeting Jimmy and jazz and its effect. So jazz, you added that something called improvisation.
Right, right.
Which basically is the heart of jazz, is not.
Well, I really feel that I learned so much more about how to improvise and how to play behind horn players. I mean, actually, after I met Jimmy, I played with so many musicians there in Belgium and in France that it opened up my ears quite a bit. And then, of course, when I came over here, that's when things really started to happen.
And so when you came over here, and to some extent there, you met colleagues of Jimmy, others, which leads, of course, to the big subject. Jimmy, the young man with the horn, had a mentor, and his name was Bix Beiderbecke. And thinking about Bix's genius and what you do, how you recreate the work of Bix, as you probably can do it now. And Bix was influenced a lot by the Impressionist French composers like Debussy and Satie. You know, Debussy, and also when he wrote a song, In a Mist, that had the French Impressionist influence,
didn't
it? It's
funny, he was ahead of his time with all those four pieces, In a Mist and Candlelights, and Flashes, and In the Dark. I mean, he never would have got those down on paper if it hadn't been for Bill Challis. And I learned that thing in England, In a Mist. You know, I mean, I don't play it according to the music, but I can sort of play a little my own arrangement of
it. How do you play it? In a Mist.
I'll show you.
Thinking of Leon Bix Beiderbecke, Davenport, Iowa, at the piano. We think of Bix, of course, young man with a horn. He was it, the trumpet, the brass
horn.
Isn't
it amazing the harmonies that he got, though, at that time? I mean, it was unusual for a jazz player to be able to sit down and come up with these sort of that kind of harmony.
That's what you do, Marion. Continue. See, you're telling us now about harmony. I know little about harmony. You're explaining it to me now through the piano. Continue with that. You said it's amazing how Bix gets the harmonies, understands it. Can you further demonstrate that?
Well, everything was so that he played when he was playing the horn was so sort of straight ahead, like when he would play, well, for instance, Davenport Blues, with, you know, like... different from something that had Debussy-like harmony. Like this phrase. It's beautiful. I can't explain it technically.
Marion,
I'm terrible at that.
I realized what you've done. You fused, adding to a traditional jazz piece, Dixieland piece, for want of a better phrase, Davenport.
Yeah.
That other something that makes jazz as it grows. That's what you
do. Well, you know, you could take Davenport and you could actually add chords to it, make it sound different. You could do that.
No.
You could do, like, for instance, play it in a different key.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Marion McPartland playing Davenport Blues, a piece she learned from her husband Jimmy, and one that he learned from his mentor, Bix Beiderbecke. Whether Steds was interviewing so-called ordinary people or a celebrity, someone whose name you would know, Steds felt that each person's story contributed to the richly textured fabric that's America. He made the people whose names you didn't know into people whose names you wanted to know. Of course, he was considered an oral historian, but he could also be described as an anthropologist or an ethnographer whose particular area of interest was the American experience. Now, music certainly has its own way of capturing that experience. Here's Marion performing a tune by George Gershwin, a man whose music embodied the spirit of an age.
McPartland, of course, Gershwin. Who more American? And capturing the jazz age in Gershwin, that's the ballad, Someone to Watch.
Someone to Watch Over Me. Isn't it amazing how he did so many wonderful songs?
Perhaps we've never any composer, any country, who could capture an age, a certain spirit, as he was able to do.
Wasn't it great? Nice to hear all these songs on the BBC. God, you know, you think of so many tunes and so many composers and beautiful tunes. You know who I really love as a composer is Hoagy Carmichael. And not a bad pianist either. We used to play two pianos years ago at Sherman Fairchild's in New York.
See, you've named Hoagy Carmichael. Here's another aspect of American popular music.
When people think of Hoagy, they immediately think of...
To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station. Log on to pianojazz.npr.org to find a station in your area. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and radio. Support for Piano Jazz comes from Save America's Treasures, a partnership between the National Endowment for the Arts and the National Parks Service, Department of the Interior, the Friends of Piano Jazz, and NPR.